Become a part of My Fix It Up Life. Email us at info@myfixituplife.com to share your Fix It Up insights, to enter to win cool gear, or to just get advice on your next Fix It Up project. Check out podcasts of My Fix It Up Life on iTunes, become a fan of the show on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter to find out what's hot in home improvement during the week. My Fix It Up Life comes to you every Saturday at noon. My Fix It Up Life is what's next in home improvement entertainment. We're back with My Fix It Up Life with my husband, Mark.
And my wife, Teresa.
And we have a special guest on the line today, Carl Champley from Wasted Spaces. How are you?
Very well, thank you. Thanks for letting us be on.
Oh, it's a joy to have you on. And I'm curious, what are you doing today?
What am I doing today?
Yeah.
Well, actually, today I'm pretty much on my butt because I took a bit of a fall yesterday between some floor joists. So I think it's just a great excuse for me to catch up on a bunch of paperwork.
Oh my goodness, what were you doing yesterday?
Sounds like I'm doing something very similar to you guys.
Uh-huh.
I'm building a home, an ultra-modern green home out here in Los Angeles, and the insanity is I'm doing everything entirely on my own, from the gas, the plumbing, the electrical, you know, standing the 20-foot wall frames using the car and all that sort of thing. But yesterday I was actually putting down a deck, and my little guy had just walked out with no shoes on. And I was just saying, buddy, you got to get some shoes on. It is a construction site, and then down I went. So nothing's broken. I think it's just a lot of bruising.
Oh, my goodness.
Or is that you being the classically tough Australian where, you know, you see pain and just punch it back?
You know what, Mark? I tried to do that, but it's just too sore to touch.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, no, all is great. And, you know, it's interesting how these things happen. It's come down to a time where I've got so much paperwork to catch up on and, you know, emails to correspond back and forth. So it's given me that little bit of daylight to catch up on those things.
Now, is this a home that you're working on for yourself or for someone else?
No, it's ourselves. We bought this little house, about 7 years ago now.
Okay.
And it was an old 1950s home. Not that old, but it was pretty much a tear down. We basically leveled it with a few walls, the floor, and one chimney remaining.
Oh.
And now we're building a platinum, lead home on this site. So architecturally it looks gorgeous, and I'm just incorporating a lot of new materials into the house, a lot from Europe and here in the US as well. So it's very contemporary, it's very modern, but it's also a house that should pretty much run on its own when it's finished.
Oh, is it going to give back to the grid kind of thing? Is it that green?
Yeah. Yeah, because I'm out here in California, you know, I've never understood why, you know, more homes don't have solar or they don't even have flat rooftops. So it's not a big home, it's only 2,000 square feet, but there's 3,500 square foot of roof deck and deck areas. So, you know, we just get sunshine out here every day bar 2 weeks of the year. So I think we all should have solar. So a third of the rooftop will be designated to solar panels.
Oh, wow. Now,
wow.
Can you also incorporate a green roof, or is that remaining one-third sort of like a roof deck that you can have views on and that kind of thing?
Kind of both. I put a particular membrane down. It's your typical, you know, 2x12 joists, and we've accounted for a possible spar up there, so the joists are being doubled up in certain areas. But there's a system out where it's like your typical 3/4-inch CDX plywood has been fastened down, and then it was a basically like a bitumen type membrane, then the mesh, and then four very thin layers of this modified cement with a color and with an acrylic water-based acrylic sealer over that. So it's very durable. You could drive a truck over it. So we can put a garden on top of it, but I think with the solar panels, the rest of it's pretty much going to be an entertaining space.
Oh, that's great. So you just go ahead and give me your address and what time we should be there.
Oh, guys, listen, the door is always open to you guys. The only,
don't say that because we will be there.
You'd have to bring your tool bags right now, so you may want to wait until it's finished, and then you can come up and share a few drinks or have dinner with us.
Well, we're going to be busy until you're done.
We're doing the opposite, as you probably know.
I'm sure you could find some time.
We're doing an ultra-not-modern house.
Yeah.
And we're picking that apart. But
now, that is a job on its own, isn't it?
You know, I almost envy you that you've been able to tear it down and come back with new.
Yeah, we sometimes talk about how it might have been easier.
And
that's
by might have been.
That's always the question, isn't it, guys? It's like, do we put a stick of dynamite to the place or we just keep working with it? I know what you mean. The only thing we had in this house really was the floor, and it was 2.5 inches out of level from one end to the other, and it's caused me so much grief where I've had to, you know, float a concrete, a sand cement screed to get everything level. But I know what you're saying. I used to specialize a lot in older renovations, and my heart and soul is with you guys. And anyone listening into your show, I think anyone that's attempted to do any work on an old house, I guess they feel the same.
Oh, the hip bone's connected to the shoulder bone. Now, you got your start in Australia as a contractor and a remodeler and builder and those kinds of things. And one of the questions we have is how similar or how different are the practices and designs and techniques between the two countries?
Good question. It's very different. Some people disagree. Australian is English, but we speak the same language, but there are a lot of differences in the industry. Starting off training-wise, I started off back in 82. I started a four-year apprenticeship as a carpenter and joiner, and after that I did an additional 3 years at night, you know, while you're working during the day. It's 7 years to become a licensed contractor. I did an additional couple of years to become, involved in structural engineering and what have you, and to become a licensed inspector. So, I think it's just being young and thinking, well, while I'm at it, I might as well get it all done now because, you know, it's always difficult to go back to these things. So it's very difficult to be licensed. If you don't do... if you're not on the job, it's a five-year university degree. So it's kind of different in Australia. It's really looked upon as a very good profession. Now, I'm not speaking really for mid or the East Coast because it's a little different there. But here in California, I think people look a little down at the trades and I think, well, they're just a tradesperson, they're just kind of a worker. But back home, and I think more so in the Midwest to the East Coast, it's more of a specialized thing.
Well, we have a very intense training program here that you probably don't know about. It's called Here's a Hammer, Get Busy. Yeah, it sounds like you're talking like Australia, and I think Canada has this to a certain degree, which is the guild system from Europe. Is it that same kind of thing where, I guess it is, where there's a journeyman and a master and all those
Correct.
Different
Correct.
Designations?
Yep.
Yeah, that is, we could use that here.
Yeah, I think it's all good because I've met a lot of tradesmen from time to time, and like I'm not a licensed electrician, I'm a licensed plumber, but again, you know, when you're doing your own house, you become the owner builder and you can get involved in a lot of things. But I'm doing a lot of plumbing work, like with using a lot of Kohler equipment right now, for example, and I talk to a lot of plumbers, and it's amazing, that is their trade, their license, but they're really not up to date with a lot of stuff, or I don't know, some of them I've met, they're just not very efficient in their trade, and they keep talking about, oh, they wish they were doing this, wish they were doing that, and it's like, well, if you're a plumber or if you're a tradesperson, you should be really on top of your game, and I don't know, I meet a lot of people that don't seem to take a lot of pride in what they do. At the same time, there's some wonderful people out there that are very much on top of it. But also, too, I think you were asking beforehand about the differences between Australia and the U.S. It's very interesting. Again, we speak the same language, but all of the tools that generally have different names. We're metric, of course. So it's been an interesting transformation coming to the U.S., doing these television shows and what have you to talk about certain tools, because in my head we say them one way,
over
here it's a different terminology. And I've been here now for 8 years, well, actually 9 years, but going back to Australia, I think I'm going to have to reconvert back into the system.
Well, I haven't even thought of that, that tools would even have different names. That's amazing.
Yeah, they do. And it's interesting, like just a lot of different tools have different names, but just the metric in the imperial system, that is a tough one, because metric is, and we converted in 66, so I kind of grew up with it, and it's just so easy. It's like, you know, zero is freezing and 100 is boiling, and, you know, a meter is 1,000 millimeters, and a centimeter is 10 millimeters. So it's quite easy. I think where it becomes confusing here in the US is when everybody tries to convert it.
Oh, sure.
Where, you know, 1 inch is 25.4 millimeters. So you kind of lose that notion, and it's 25.4. You just say it's 25 mil or it's 2.5.
Well,
you know?
How many times have you been hanging a really expensive piece of crown and read it in imperial and then cut it in metric and went up and the thing was 6 miles short?
Mark, you've been there, done that, I can tell. it's so true, mate. You know what the most difficult thing, and Teresa, the most difficult thing I struggle with is that I'm doing a job and I'm looking for a particular tool through all my toolboxes, and then I realize it's actually in the container back in Australia.
Oh,
It's not here at all in this country. It's a specialized tool that I have in a different country. I couldn't use it because it's, we're 240 over there.
And we get frustrated if, you know, a tool is in the basement or it's in the truck or something.
Oh, yeah. I'm losing my mind.
We shouldn't. We have no excuses for getting upset any longer.
Yeah, that's it. Carl, you've put me shame. I mean,
thank
I have all the answers left over.
Either that, guys, or I just got to wake up to myself and memorize where everything is. You know, maybe it's a good excuse I have for certain things not getting done. I don't know.
Oh man!
Wow.
Well, we have a bad excuse for one, having to end this interview because we're up against a break, but two, to invite you back anytime you would like to join us, and by join us, I mean come to my house and help me frame that doorway.
You know what? It's funny. I think I'm going to be busy just like Teresa was saying. You know what? That leg all of a sudden is working, and I think I'm going to get back down on those joists.
But I think that we'll be available for that invitation to come and hang out on your roof deck anytime, though.
Oh, guys, no, that's just going to happen. And also, too, I just wanted to mention, mate, your beautiful book that you you published a few years back.
Oh, wow. I
still haven't read it from right through, but I'm halfway through it, and it's just wonderful. So any of your listeners out there, they've got to get a hold of a copy because, you know, anyone in the trade or a do-it-yourselfer, I think it's just a nice little read.
Oh, Carl, thank you very much.
It's one of my favorite books, too,
thank
The Carpenter's Notebook. But it kind of has to be, I think.
Oh, let's not hang up on him now. This interview's going great.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Carl, we are looking forward to having you back again very soon and finding out what you're up to with the house and wasted spaces and TV and radio. And
we hope that you have a speedy recovery, too.
I look forward to joining you guys again.
Thanks so much. The Carpenter's Notebook, a novel about building a better life.
I reach for my tape measure more like a gunslinger going for a six-shooter than a timid, albeit middle-aged, apprentice afraid to do the wrong thing.
2 years after his father's death, Brendan leaves his daughters and collapsing marriage to fulfill a promise he made to his mother, and he discovers the answers he wasn't looking for that end up helping his own life. Inside a heartwarming love story with raw, hammer-swinging detail, author Mark Clement shares the story of a man who discovers his father's job site life lesson. Dean Johnson, co-host of Home Time, says, "Home improvement is a thread that runs through many of our lives. Mark has woven it into a rich and unique story." Brett Witter, publisher of Chicken Soup for the Soul, says, "A wonderful book about building both houses and relationships that is wise, touching, and as satisfying as a hard day's work well done." Like Chicken Soup for the Soul, it shows us that the greatest wisdom is built from the material of everyday life. Check out The Carpenter's Notebook by Mark Clement on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, and at bookstores nationwide.